defines it. The defining character, the Christ figure, the one to whom the other three characters respond, is the man who fell among thieves. The actual Christ figure in the story is yet another down and outer, who just by lying there in his lostness and pain and proximity to death, practically dead is the way Jesus puts it, is in fact the closest thing to Jesus in the parable. Now I know that this runs counter to better than 2,000 years worth of sermons on the story. This parable, like so many of Jesus's most telling stories, is misnamed. It is not primarily about the Samaritan, but instead about the man on the ground, just as the prodigal son is not about a boy's sin, but a father's great forgiveness. And just as the laborers in the vineyard is not about the workers, but about the graciousness of the vineyard owner. And this means, as an aside, by the way, that all the Good Samaritan hospitals have likewise been misnamed. It is the suffering and dying patients in these institutions who look the most like Jesus in his saving work, not the doctors. Accordingly, it would be much less misleading to have them named the man who fell among these hospitals, but I'm sure many doctors and insurance companies would not appreciate that. Back to the argument. What I am most concerned with this morning is precisely the mischief caused by the misnaming of this story. Calling it the Good Samaritan inevitably sets us up to take it as a story whose hero offers a good example of us to imitate. So what's wrong with that, you say? Well, quite simply, it blows the good news, the gospel, right out of the water. For if the world could have been saved by providing good examples to which we respond with appropriately good works, it would have been saved an hour and 20 minutes after Moses came down from the mountain. As it says in Galatians, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, it should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So are you beginning to see the problem? Salvation is not some state to which we can lift ourselves by our own bootstraps after the contemplation of sufficiently good examples. Salvation is an utterly new creation into which we are brought by our death in Jesus' death and our resurrection in his resurrection. Salvation comes not by our efforts, however well-inspired or successfully pursued, but out of the shipwreck of all human effort whatsoever. Therefore, if there is any ministering to be imitated in the Good Samaritan's example, it is in the ministry of Jesus in his passion, as that passion is to be found in the least of his brothers and sisters, namely the hungry, the thirsty, the outcast, the naked, the sick. But that dark invitation is so far removed from the glittering generality of salvation by imitating good examples that I think you're beginning maybe to see what I'm getting at. Neither the Samaritan nor Jesus is an example of some broader saving truth about the power of human niceness. Jesus is an example of nothing of the sort. Instead, he is the incarnation, the enfleshing of the unique saving mystery of death and resurrection. We do not move from him to some deeper reality called love or goodness that will finally do the trick. There are no human virtues, however exalted or carefully practiced, that will ever make that cut. Love is so regularly mismanaged that it is the single largest factor in making our personal worlds go down the drain. Psychiatrists' couches are not kept warm by patients complaining about total strangers, after all. Besides, as everyone knows, nice guys finish last, right? Good Samaritans are sued with alarming regularity. If one of them does manage to stay out of court, he probably goes home and loses all the benefits of his goodness in a fight with his wife over putting some deadbeat's expenses on their Visa card. The fruit of our sinfulness cannot be broken by good examples, even if we could follow them. Quite the contrary, the gospel says clearly that we can be saved by bad examples, by the stupid example of a Samaritan who spends his livelihood on a stranger and a loser, by the horrible example of a Savior who, in an excruciating death, lays down his life for his friends. Give me that, and I will let you have the Good Samaritan as a model for behavior. But example me no nicer examples. The Christian troops have been confused enough for 2,000 years. We don't need another minute's worth of sermons about good works. As I said earlier, I take this story to be light years away from a call to human niceness. Jesus' whole parable, especially with its piling up of detail after detail of extreme and even irrational behavior on the part of the Samaritan, points not to the man's goodwill, but to the man's willingness to share in the messy passion of life. That's the main thrust of this story. What is to be imitated in the Samaritan's action is not his moral uprightness in doing good, but in his true spiritual insight into the mystery of redemption. The lawyer is told by Jesus, in effect, to stop trying to live and be willing to die. Be willing to be lost rather than to be found. To be, in short, a neighbor who, in the least of his brethren, is already neighbor to the whole world of dying people. It is more important that the Good Samaritan shared in another's pain than that the Good Samaritan shared out of his abundance. The story is certainly a shorthand for Jesus' own life and passion, for he is shortly to be the man who fell among thieves. Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Amen.